Well, today is the last Sunday of the new year. That means many of us are making our New Year's resolutions, which means that in just a couple of weeks, many of us will be breaking our New Year's resolutions. And that's why a lot of people just skip the whole thing together, right? They've given up on New Year's resolutions completely. Why bother making them if you're not going to keep them? However, whether you make any New Year's resolutions or not, one thing we should all be evaluating as the new year begins is our Bible reading. How are we doing as far as reading and learning God's Word? And really, reading your Bible should not be a New Year's resolution to keep or to break. Really, what it should be is a daily discipline and a lifelong practice. But the new year is as good a time as any to stop and to evaluate how you're doing with it. So this morning I want us to look at a message. There's an outline in your bulletin. I want to share with you really five good reasons why you should read God's Word this year. All five of them are in this outline, and I encourage you to take that out to follow along or to jot down some notes as we go. But we're going to look at these five reasons, then I want to share some helpful resources at the end of the message to assist you with your Bible reading. So number one, why should you read God's Word this year? First of all, reading God's Word will teach you God's ways. Reading God's words will teach you God's ways. The Bible tells us that all of God's ways are good and right. Proverbs chapter 3 says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace." God's ways are good ways. They are the ways of wisdom. You could easily paraphrase this verse in Proverbs 3 to say that God's ways are pleasant, and all of God's paths are paths of peace. And God's ways are not only good and pleasant, but they are also right. We read in Revelation 15:3 about God, "Just and true are your ways." God is perfect in all that he does, and so all of God's ways are also good and perfect and true. And not only are all God's ways good and right, but God commands you and me to walk in his ways. Deuteronomy chapter 10 says, "What does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And so what does God require of us? That you serve him, that you love him, that you respect him, that you walk in all of his ways. Now, our problem is that we do not naturally know or follow God's ways. God says in Isaiah 55, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." What that's saying is that we do not understand or know God's ways on our own. But the good news is that God does not leave us in the dark on this, but he offers to teach us his ways. Psalm 25 says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant." God knew that we could not know or follow his ways on our own. And so what does he do? He promises to teach us his ways. And how does God do that? Right where we started. God teaches you his ways through his word. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." How do we learn God's ways? By reading and meditating on God's word. Reading and meditating on God's law and his words. You cannot know God and his ways apart from his word. That'd be like trying to get to know your neighbor without ever talking to him or her. It's just not going to work, is it? We need to read God's word if we're going to know his ways. And it's something that we need to do every day. I love these words from Proverbs 8, which is speaking of the wisdom that is found in God's word. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. God wants so much to teach you his ways, but you need to read his word daily if you're going to learn. What a beautiful image it is here in Proverbs 8. Listening attentively, right? Watching daily at God's doors, just waiting for him to speak to you through his word. So that's the first reason you should read God's word this year. It will teach you God's ways. Second reason why you should read God's word this year is because it will guide you in God's paths. Now, I like Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3 here, which says, he will teach us his ways, right? That was the first reason we just looked at, right? He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The two go together. They're connected. The whole reason why God wants to teach you his ways is so that you may then walk in his paths. It's not going to do you any good to learn God's ways unless you then walk it out, right? If you're going on a trip, why study the map if you're not going to use it, right? You study the map, it's like, okay, I got this, and you just throw it away, and then you just drive wherever you want. Doesn't make any sense. Well, God's word is not only going to teach you God's ways, it will also guide you in God's paths. And how does God do this? Through his word? Three ways. First of all, God's word shows you the right place to go, okay? Then it shows you the best way to get there. And then thirdly, it helps you to walk closely with God all the way on your journey to your destination. Let's take a look at all three of those. First of all, God's word shows you the right place to go. You know, when you open up a map, there are thousands of possible destinations, right? You just look at it and think, oh, all the possibilities. Well, in life, there are also thousands of possible destinations. As we start the new year, it's a good time to ask, where are you headed in life? Are you on the right road? How do you even know? A lot of people out there say it doesn't matter what road you're on, right? But the Bible says this, Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. What's that proverb saying? Not all roads lead to good places. Are you even headed for the right destination in life? You should at least stop and ask yourself the question. And this is exactly what God tells us to do in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. He says, stand at the crossroads. Okay, you're at the crossroads. There's a couple different ways you could go here. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Later on in the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So what is the good way? What is the good way? Jesus is the good way. You need to follow Jesus. You need to trust Jesus. You need to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Perhaps that's you this morning. Perhaps you're standing at the crossroads at the beginning of a new year wondering, where's the good way? Which is the good way to go? Then I would encourage you to look to Jesus on the cross. Look to Jesus who died for you so that God could give you life. That, people, that is the good way. You walk in that way, and you will find rest for your soul. God's word not only shows you the right place to go, I love this, it also shows you the best way to get there, right? I mean, you might know where you're going on the map, but you might take the long way with lots of traffic and obstructions, but God shows you the best way to get there. We read in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And once we're on that right path, God's word just lights the way ahead for us. God says in Isaiah 48, verse 17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. He shows us the best way to get there. And once again, how does he do that? He does that through his word. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, two of my favorite verses in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And as you seek God in his word, as you seek God's ways and his will and his teaching and his word, instead of leaning on your own understanding, what will God do? He will light the path ahead of you with his word, and he will make your path straight. And then God's word also helps you to walk closely with God all the way. It doesn't just show you the right place to go and the best way to get there. But when you look to God for guidance through his word, you not only get the very best guidebook in the whole world, guess what? You get the guide as well. You get the very best guide himself. God says in Psalm 32:8, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And so as you read the word, God himself becomes your guide through his word. God himself counsels you through his Holy Spirit. Jesus is the good shepherd who guides and takes care of his sheep. Most of you are familiar with Psalm 23, where the Lord is described as a shepherd who personally leads and guides his sheep. Let's reflect on those words just for a moment. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, you not only get the guidebook, you get the guide. It's wonderful. Why read God's word this year? Number one, we'll teach you God's ways. Number two, it will guide you in God's paths. And now we come to number three, it will strengthen you for your tasks. The Bible tells us that God created you for good works. Now, you're not saved by your good works, right? You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But once you come to Christ in faith believing, then God has tasks for you. He has works, good works, for you to perform. All that you should do for God's glory. If you're a student here this morning, then you should study hard for God's glory. If you're a parent, then you should raise your children to the glory of God. If you work, you should do your work for God's glory. If you serve in the church or in some form of ministry, you should minister and serve for the glory of God. You might ask yourself, well, where in the world am I going to get the strength to do that? Reading God's word will strengthen you for your tasks in several ways. First of all, the Bible tells us that God's word equips you for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you're going to do good works, you've got to be equipped for that. How are you equipped for your tasks? It's through the scriptures. All scripture comes from God. And he's given it to us so that you may be thoroughly equipped, fully equipped for everything that God calls you to do. I love King David's description about this in the Old Testament in Psalm 18. He starts off by speaking about God's word and God's way, two of the things we've been talking about. And then he goes on to speak about how God, through God's word and his way, has equipped him for his task. Here we are, Psalm 18. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. David knew how it happened. David was strengthened and equipped for his tasks through God's perfect and flawless word. God's word also strengthens you for your tasks by nourishing you. And that's what we were talking about with the kids and the children's message today, right? God's word is often compared to food in the scriptures because it nourishes us spiritually. just as physical food nourishes us physically. Remember when Jesus fasted in the desert for 40 days? That was fasting from physical food. He was hungry. The tempter came to him, telling him, turn the stones into bread. And Jesus answered by saying, what? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus found his strength and nourishment from the reading of God's word. And we can do the same. Now, one of the things about food, I don't know if you've noticed this yet or not. Last week's food doesn't help you a lot this week, does it? You ever notice that? You get to the week, you say, you know, I ate a lot last week. I can just take this week off. All right? I'll just take a break from food this week. Doesn't work that way, right? Food is one of those things. You got to eat it every day if you're going to nourish your body. It's the exact same way with God's word. Job said, Job 23:12, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. And you must feed on God's word daily if you want to nourish yourself spiritually. And then God's word also strengthens you for your tasks by giving you the wisdom that you need to succeed. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 6. By wisdom, a house is built. Through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. The Bible is chock full of practical wisdom and guidance to help you make wise and right decisions in every area of life, whether it's business or relationships or finances or parenting. It's all in the book. It's all in God's word. That's why God told Joshua, Joshua 1:8, said, Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You see, you will always be better off when you follow God's ways instead of man's ways. Let's move on to reason number four. A fourth reason why you should read your Bible this year is it will comfort you in your sorrows. I don't know what the year 2018 holds for you. I hope that it's going to be a great year. But if you are like most people, and if 2018 is like most years, then you will likely experience a mixture of both the good and the bad in the coming year. And the question is, how will you handle the tough times? And this is where reading God's word is so important. God's word will comfort you in several ways. Romans 15, verse 4 says this, everything that was written in the past, it's talking about the Old Testament here, the Old Testament scriptures, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So as you catch that, the scriptures were written not only to teach us about God, but also for your encouragement and for your hope. See, when you read the Bible, you are reading about real people and their real experience of the real God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you read about God delivering the Israelites from Egypt, you're not just reading about history. You read that and you go, this is the same God who delivers me today. When you read about God hearing Hannah as she poured out her heart in prayer to God, you're not just reading about someone else's experience. He is the same God who listens to your prayers today. He is the same God who you can pour out your heart to him and he hears every word. When you read about God giving David victory over Goliath, you're not just reading about some battle in some distant past. This is the same God who gives you strength for your tasks today. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And then secondly, reading God's word will comfort you in your sorrows, because the gospel is good news for the poor and the brokenhearted. Jesus preached his first message in the synagogue from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Let me read you his text for his sermon. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news, the gospel, good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Jesus read the passage and then he gave the application. We often do that, don't we? We read a passage and then we give the application. You know what his application was? He read these words and here's his application. He says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What was he saying? He was saying this passage Jesus was saying is about him, is about Christ. Christ has come. Christ has brought us salvation. That is the good news. That is the gospel. He has come to bind up the brokenhearted. He has come to proclaim freedom for those who are captive. He's come to comfort all those who mourn. The gospel is good news that will bring you comfort in times of sorrow. And then finally, reading God's word will comfort you in your sorrows, because God's promises preserve your life. Listen to these words. These are from Psalm 119, a number of different verses strung together. But the psalmist writes here, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me without restraint, but I do not turn from your law. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them." The psalmist was suffering. He was weary with sorrow. But when he remembered God's word, when he remembered God's law, he found comfort. And why? He tells us, because God's promise preserved his life. And when you read the Bible this year, when you get into God's word every day, what are you going to find? You're going to find many great and precious promises from God. And those promises will give you the comfort and strength that you need during the hard times. God has never broken a promise. He never will. And you will find much comfort from God's promises in Scripture during your times of trouble. And then finally, reason number 5, why you should read your Bible this new year, is it will protect you from harm. Once again, there are good paths and there are bad paths in life. And the Bible was written not only to show you the right way, okay, we've seen that already, to show you God's ways, to show you the right way. It was also written to keep you from going down the wrong way. And so God's word guards you against wrong paths in life. Listen to these words now from Proverbs chapter 2. "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just. He protects the way of his faithful ones. Wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men." Think about it. How many bad decisions in your life could God have protected you from if you had only been reading and following God's word? It will protect you and guard you from wrong paths. God's word will help you to fight against temptation. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." When Paul encouraged believers to put on the full armor of God, he said, take the helmet of salvation, and then what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, that is your offensive weapon against the attack of the enemy. When Jesus was attacked in the wilderness, when he was tempted, how did he fight back? He used the sword of the Spirit. He used the Word of God. This is one of the reasons why we do scripture memory. And more of you, each time we do it, more and more of you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do that this time. I'm going to be part of that scripture memory in church. And you start memorizing God's Word and storing that up in your heart. And that's going to help you. And then finally, reading God's Word will protect you from harm, because God sanctifies you by the truth of His Word. And that one's not immediately obvious, but let's talk about that for a minute. When Jesus prayed for His disciples, right before Jesus went to the cross, He prayed for His disciples. He prayed many things, but among those things, He prayed for their protection. John 17, verses 15 through 17. He said, God, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. What's Jesus saying in His prayer here? He's saying, if you are a follower of Jesus, you no longer belong to this world. Yet Jesus' prayer was not that God take you out of the world, but that He would protect you while you are in it. And how does that protection take place? Jesus says, through the Word of God. God sanctifies you. That means that He sets you apart. God sets you apart from the world and its evils by the truth that it is His Word. What Jesus is saying is this: nothing can truly harm you when you are following God's Word. Even if you should lose your life for Christ, you will still find victory in God's presence in heaven. So why read God's Word in the new year? Five good reasons. Reading God's Word will teach you God's ways. It will guide you in God's paths. It will strengthen you for your tasks. It will comfort you in your sorrows. It will protect you from harm. And if God's Word is going to do all that for you and me this year, guess what? We can't afford not to read God's Word this year, right? How can we make that mistake? As we close this morning, if you have already developed the discipline of daily Bible reading, if you already have a plan that works well for you, then praise God. Stick with what you're doing. Keep that going. But if this is an area where you look back and you say, you know what? I know I should be reading God's Word, but for some reason or other, it just keeps getting pushed aside. I haven't been able to make that a daily discipline. Then I've put together some resources to help you to do that this year. There are some Bible reading plans that are available in the foyer. They're on the round table. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, pick one up. It's a great plan. I like it because it's just 5 days a week, which means if you miss a day, you can catch up without getting behind for the next week. If you miss 2 days, you can catch up without getting behind for the next week. You know? And so it works out really well. I like the way it's arranged as well. It's arranged chronologically. So you're kind of reading things in the order that they happen in the Bible as well. Great reading plan. It's the one I'll be using this year. It's the one I've used for the past few years. That's out there. At the bottom of your sermon outline, there's a web link. And on my website, I've put together a number of Bible reading helps. You'll find a variety of Bible reading plans there. The first one is that five-day plan, my favorite one. But you'll find other ones there in case you say, you know, I want to try something different this year. If you click in there, you'll find those plans. You'll also find some great books if you want, as you're reading through the Bible, if you want to read along some books that will explain what you're reading as you go. You'll find links to some great books there as well. If you're a parent or a grandparent, and you're saying, man, I'd really like to find some books that I can read the Bible with my kids with. Also there, I've assembled really my favorite Bible story books for children. And so you'll find that there as well. So I encourage you to check out those resources. If you don't have a plan, at least pick up one off the table back here before you leave. But remember, even 5 to 10 minutes spent in God's Word at the start of each day will make a remarkable difference in your life this new year. And then you just keep that going. You keep that going. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank You for Your Word. It is a great treasure. It's a great treasure that too often we leave closed on our night table or stuffed into our bookshelf. Lord, you have great things for us in your word for 2018. You have great things for us in 2018. Yes, there are going to be difficult days, but you have wonderful things for us. And Lord, we are going to find so many more of those as we spend time in your word. Lord, help us to be a church that is in your word in this new year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.